In that case, we can go ahead and get started. It is noon. Some announcements prior to the start of the meeting. Attendees who have joined via teleconference, please place your phones or audio connection on mute until such time as you present or ask to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. And attendees who have joined via teleconference, please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link. Dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Any logistics? The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@innovationsandiego.org. The public may also provide comments during the public comments links in the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please take accommodations notice. And as required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of San Diego Workforce Innovation High School, regular board meeting, operated by Western Educational Corporation and California Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporation for Tuesday, August 27, 2024, at 12 noon to order. Roll call and status in the quorum. Mike Adams is here. Claudette Beck.
Here.
Brian Picasso.
Here.
And Dr. David Rapkin here. And we have a quorum for today's meeting. We can proceed. Vanessa, will you please do the Learning Center's roll call?
Hi, yes. This is Vanessa Mendoza from the Charter Affairs team for the Learning Center roll call. All Learning Centers, can you please unmute your line for the roll call? Do we have a site representative on for Chula Vista?
Present, yes.
Lake Elsinore?
Present.
Or Lakeside?
Lakeside's here.
Lemon Grove?
Lemon Grove's here.
National City?
National City is here.
Moreno Valley?
Moreno Valley is here.
Marietta?
Marietta is here.
San Diego?
Present.
Escondido?
Escondido's here.
And for Vista.
Present.
Great. Thank you, Learning Centers. This concludes the Learning Center roll call. When you have a chance, can you please place your line back on mute?
Thank you, Vanessa. We'll move on to item C. Pledge of Allegiance. So I'll ask President Foster to please stand. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Staff introductions, school governance. Well, thank you, President Adams, members of the board, those learning centers who are joining us. My name is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Shelley Meeple.
Thank you. Bill Thompson, go ahead,
Lindsay. Good afternoon, Lindsay Reeves, Area Superintendent.
Thank you. Bill Thompson, legal counsel, and I'm pleased to say we have my colleague Adam Miller here with us today. After Vanessa's Learning Center roll call, I think you appreciate he's very helpful and very responsible with all of those different learning centers. So I wanted to mention that.
Thank you. Thank you, Darren Ballard-Steele.
Thank you.
Presenters, if you are presenting today, will you please introduce yourself? Thank you.
Thank you, Board President. Hello, Board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C. The Board will be asked to approve Susan L. Alderson to serve on the Board of Directors for the term of August 27, 2024. Through June 30th, 2025, may I hear any motion?
Mr. Costa, I make a motion to approve item 1E.
Thank you.
David Rathgeber, a second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Frank McCosta, second by David Rathgeber. Any further discussion? We will proceed to the vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank McCosta?
Aye.
Dr. Dave Rathke.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Okay, item F. I would like a motion motion to approve the agenda for the August 27, 2024 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Thank you, Costa. I make a motion to approve item 1F. Thank you.
David Rathgeber, I'll second.
Thank you.
That was a motion by Frank Costa, second by Dr. David Rathgeber. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Evans is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Costa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
Susan Alderson.
Aye.
And that passes with 5 yes votes. And we will move on to item G. I will ask for a motion to approve the minutes of the June 4th, 2024 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Mr. Costa, I make a motion to approve item 1G.
Thank you.
David Rathgeber, second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Frank Costa, second by Dr. David Rathgeber. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Costa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
And Susan Allison.
Aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of charter schools. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have 6 items on the consent agenda. Number 1, the board will be asked to approve the revised master plan for multilingual learners. Number 2, the board will be asked to approve the revised suspension and expulsion policy and procedure. Number 3, the board will be asked to approve the new Title IX policy prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sex. Number 4, the board will be asked to approve the revised harassment, intimidation, discrimination, and bullying policy. Number 5, the board will be asked to repeal the board policy on non-discrimination, duplicative of the revised harassment, intimidation, discrimination, and bullying policy. And number 6, the board will be asked to approve the disposal of discontinued obsolete technology and equipment. Does any board member want to pull any consent agenda item for further discussion at this time? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 6.
Frank Costa, I make a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 6.
David Rathgeber, second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Frank Costa, second by David Rathgeber. And any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Thank you, Costa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
Stephen Alders.
Aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, unless a member of the public utilizes the translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, correction may occur at this time. It is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members in the public on the line at this time who would like to make comments? Hearing none, were there any written comments submitted to the board prior to the start of the meeting?
Hi, good afternoon. This is Shelley Sam from the Charter Affairs team. Here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. Item 4, school reports and information. Item A, finance update and financial reporting for the 2024-2025 school year. Edith Shreepy.
Thank you, Board. I'm going to report the finance update on the line of credit for the school. At this time, as you see on the top portion, is the Hanmi line of credit for the school at an interest rate of 9%. Expiration date is November 3rd, 2024, and the school hasn't drawn from the line of credit at this time. The line of credit is at $3 million with the bank. And then we also calculate all the covenant, the requirements the bank requires. And at this time, the bank, we have provided all the information they need, and the school is in a good financial health. So the school can continue to tap into the line of credit as needed. And then on the bottom portion, you'll see LLAC's update. This is for the line of credit for LLAC with the school, and that is at $2.5 million. And the school hasn't drawn from the line of credit, which was through a promissory note approved by the board at a fixed rate of 6%. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Hi, Gita. This is Frank Lucasa. Just a quick question. On the covenant where it says the ADA drop may not exceed the 10%, I see that it's 10.63%. So we just exceeded
Yes, it has exceeded. It did. Yes, and we've brought it up to the bank's attention, and they're good with it. So they've waived that variance.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, item B, area superintendent update, Lindsay.
I just have one other update on the financial reporting, work president. So quickly, I'll just go over the financial reporting calendar for fiscal year 2024-2025. This calendar starts with the annual budget, which the board has already approved back in May and June. It's required for the board to also approve the LCAP, the adopted LCAP, and that was also approved during the same board meeting, which was due July 1st. And then going down the calendar, sorry, let's just grab my copy. And there's another deadline in September 15th. And that is unaudited actuals, which I'm going through it with the board today. It's on the board agenda. That's the final annual report for the school financial for the fiscal year, which today I'm going over the 23-24. And the next deadline on the calendar is December 15th due date for the first interim report. This is due to the charter authorities. That the school, with the school oversight, is the first interim report of the financial information for the fiscal year for the school that shows the financial condition for the first 4 months of the operations from July to October 31st. And then the next deadline is January 15th. It's the P1 ADA report, which is the first principal apportionment that we use as key matrix to determine the budget and the expenditures associated with the expenditures throughout the year. And then the next deadline is February 28th, is the mid-year LCAP update. So if there are any changes, that is when we bring it back to the board, normally during February board meetings. Then the next deadline is March 15th, which is the second interim report. This is, again, the second interim operational financial report for the fiscal year for the school that shows all the operational expenditures from July 1 through January 31st, and that comes to the board around February, March. And then the next report is due April 15, which is the P2 ADA report. This is a very important report which needs to be reported to the CDE that shows the principal apportionment for the school, and that is where the funding for majority of the funding for the school is determined by the P2 information. And lastly is the Form 990, which is the corporate and nonprofit tax return, which we bring it to the board when it's ready before filing. So that concludes the calendar, the main calendar events on the financial end. And if any questions, I'd be happy to discuss. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, now we'll go on to item B, area superintendent update.
Thank you, President Adams. The first thing I handed out is the summary of LCAP successes that we just passed around, successes and needs. This was at the request of Dr. David Rathgaber at the last board meeting. He asked for just a brief summary for LCAP. The LCAP template itself is very wordy and lengthy and oftentimes very confusing. So this is just a quick bullet pointed, you know, here's the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's more good than bad and ugly. I won't go through every single bullet point. I'll leave that to you to review, but I think it's really self-explanatory. So please let me know if you have any questions about that. And I'll strive to provide summaries like this moving forward when we have lengthier, more convoluted reports. Secondly, I wanted to review our metrics report that we review every time. So this is for LP1 data. LP1 spans July 1st, 2024 through July 26, 2024. During this time period, student enrollment in San Diego workforce was 2,721 students, which is slightly lower than the same time last school year. However, that being said, a very slight decrease is not abnormal in a charter of this size. You could easily fluctuate 30 to common comment. We usually will make up ground, if not end up further ahead by the end of the year. We have our student interns coming in, so I'm actually going to pause. So forgive me while I interrupt myself. I'll get back to the data report in just a second. Are they coming? Come on. Hi. Welcome. Come on in, everyone. Okie dokie. So here is Priscilla Cortez, who is our community programs manager, along with Carlos Valorio, our community liaison, and they're going to introduce our student interns.
Yes, thank you so much, everyone, for your time. We're really excited to have our student interns who are part of the student internship program that we were able to launch this year, where our students are able to go out in the field and really share their story and what they do, and support community liaison from sharing the message and our model. So we have Jackie, Mohammed, Sierra, and Latavio here to share. And maybe, you know, you want to start with a little bit about your experience and kind of what you've done in the community that helps our school.
Well, my experience was helping to get that, like, when I go to events, I used to talk about to this bank community. There's a lot of teenagers my age, or sometimes even at least from like 24, 24, right?
Partnership with our RIO partners,
and realized we really wanted something a little more stable that we had a little more control in. So we're actually hiring the students as members of the school community. And they're a little bit of everything. They do public relations. They do community outreach. They get student voice if we need student feedback, let's say on like the LCAP, or we're going to start having our student interns go to our parent advisory meetings. We're just really looking for ways to help us engage both people currently in our school community and people that might want to be a part of it. That's really their whole thing. And they're learning all kinds of wonderful skills as they go through it. So we're really excited and happy guys on board. It's a win-win for everyone. Absolutely. Thank you for that. We're here, so we wanted them to get to meet you all. All right, continuing on with the metrics report. So, go to page 2. I don't have happy news, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to be honest about it. Our overall credit completion rate is down, and our core credit completion rate is down, along with ADA. And you might be thinking, why? What's going on? I think it's a variety of factors, but I think specifically at some of our schools up in Riverside County, we're really resetting expectations. We're raising the academic rigor of the coursework that we're requiring for students. And like with any new initiative, when you raise expectations, you raise the rigor, you see a slight dip at first, right, until everybody gets on board. But ultimately, the team is in agreement that this is what's needed for our students to be more successful in that area. I think what happened is out of an abundance of compassion for students during this pandemic, unfortunately, we might have lowered expectations a little bit too much. And what happened is we didn't make a pivot quickly enough to getting back on track, and we're making it now. And so it hurts. It's hard. As a team, especially, that's used to really achieving, and they make up 50% of San Diego workforce. So when they're struggling to succeed, you feel it across the entire charter. And so, like I said, not exciting stats to report this LP, but I can tell you for LP2, the numbers came up noticeably, and so I'll be happy to report that next time we meet, and we'll continue monitoring it for this school year. But it's hard to create change, and sometimes it's got to get uglier before it gets prettier. So we're in the ugly phase right now, but we'll be pretty soon, I promise.
Okay, well, you know how much I love stats.
Thank you.
With the number of learning centers and the other learning centers staying on course.
Not only are they staying on course, but many of our other learning centers are actually doing better than last year. What's hard with San Diego workforce is there used to be 10. Now there's 11 because now we have City Heights as a part of that charter. And unfortunately, when you report out these stats, they're reported as the whole charter. And so it can kind of paint a picture of what the whole charter is doing, which can play in your favor sometimes because it might mask a center that's not doing well. But in this case, it's overwhelming the charter and making the charter as a whole not too successful. When in reality, if you piece out piece by piece, for example, Amanda's sites, I'd love to highlight. Amanda, can you share a little bit about some of your data this year?
So I was going to share my data, and we'll share what we are. We did have a 0.72 increase. Out from year to year at LP1. All of the centers were over 3, and our administrative site was over 4 in credit completion. And that's been an increase from where our centers in the South Bay have been in the previous year. So, with these new requirements, the students and the staff together are really working.
And that's why I'm asking an obviously question what I normally ask.
Yes.
It's good things. Okay, who's voting?
Yes. So, yeah, it's a mixed bag. And I think the difference is, in Amanda's case, Amanda could say probably a year ago or 2 years ago, her team was in this exact same spot. It's just that our Riverside sites are making the pivot a little bit later than everyone else. So that's why we're seeing it now for them, whereas a lot of our other San Diego workforce sites felt that kind of hard pivot after the pandemic a couple of years ago.
They have a very clear picture.
I know exactly where they're all at, and overall, overall, the centers are doing well, and they're growing and improving. It's just that, unfortunately, the statistics are on the wrong by some of our larger sites.
And I think in my head, so what are the things that Amanda and her team are doing that we can maybe apply to some of the other schools, or is it just
I think it takes time. I think it takes some time, and it takes some courage, candidly, because I think there's fear when you raise expectations. There's fear that the students aren't going to rise to the occasion, or that the families aren't going to rebel, or that the staff isn't going to come along. I mean, I think all of those demons kind of are lurking. And at the end of the day, it comes down to courage to do what's right and just believe and have faith that the team is going to rise to that occasion. I think it also, which our leader up in that area is doing currently, is really taking a good look at what we're currently doing, seeing if the effort, because the team is working hard. There's no doubt about it. The team is working really hard. They're just not getting the results that one would think. And so then it's looking at the efforts they are putting in. Where is it going? How is that getting results? What can we do differently? You know, like, for instance, of an example, they just started doing some SGI classes with the best of intentions, right? Well, now they're noticing the teachers are putting a ton of effort into having these small group instruction classes. Kids aren't attending. So a lot of effort going out, not getting a lot of return on investment. So we're in this mode right now really looking at how is the team spending their time versus what's the return. I think the other thing, candidly, that the team is grappling with is not being so accommodating to students. I think sometimes our culture works against us because we are so accommodating to the point where we harm ourselves, right? And so a kid says they don't want to come to site, even if it's the best thing for them, our staff has a tendency to go, okay, then don't come to site. But then that kid's not making progress. It's really hard to teach the team to say, you must come on site. Your education matters. I have to work with you in person if we want to make progress. That's been the trickier one that I think for people to be demanding of students for the greater good. And so that's probably the trickiest thing that we're doing. But Amanda's team went through that. I would say that they definitely went through from a place of being accommodating to a fault, right? Almost borderline enablers, right? To demanders. We call it warm demanding because we're not just being harsh. It's done with a lot of warmth and love, but it's helpful. It is. But unfortunately, Susie, some teachers and educators feel like those terms are mutually exclusive. Having high expectations and really caring about kids, they feel like are separate. And what they're not, they have to be married and intertwined to have success with this population of students. And it's really hard because you'll have both groups on a team. You'll have like the high demanders, but they're missing the high love part, and then they can alienate kids. But you'll also have the high love people that don't want to demand anything and that they aren't doing anything, right? So we need both. And so it's really getting the team to understand and to marry those two concepts together. Work in progress. One thing I do know for sure about our team up in Riverside is that they're passionate, they're competitive, they want to succeed. They're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out quickly. I have no doubt about it. We're just in that kind of icky middle right now when we're making a turn.
It's an adjustment to correct habits.
Yeah.
I also wonder if there's a little bit of doubt on thinking if this was an initiative that we're going to follow through.
Is this going away?
Right. We've had a lot of new initiatives that have been all starts or fake initiatives. You know, we just really follow through. And just,
or could it just go back to the way it was before? Why do we have to do it this other way?
Right.
And at the end of the day, my answer is we have to do it this other way. It's better for kids.
Right.
The long game, it's not just about getting a diploma. We talk about this all the time in the leadership team. If that was enough, we wouldn't be having this conversation, but it's not enough. We have to switch some skills to the grit, to persevere, even when things are really hard, even when they want to quit. We have to teach them that, and we have to challenge them. We can't make it too easy because ultimately the kids aren't going to grow from that. So we're going to stay the course, and I know the team's going to come along, and we'll have better stats to report next time.
There's an award, too, when you increase that base because they feel successful in that. And that's so important.
And that's what increases self-esteem, right?
Absolutely.
When you challenge students and they rise to the occasion, when they know you're not dumping it down or watering it down for them, there is a reward in that. And we forget that sometimes. Our kids are really smart. They know when we're watering it down for them.
Yes.
And there is a message in that that says, I don't think you can do it. I have to water it down for you. And when we say we can do it, then they go, oh, wow, maybe I could, you know? I'll keep you posted. Yeah, I know. Trust me, I'd much rather stand up here and give only good news all the time, but that's not the reality, right? So, yeah.
Any questions or comments from the board?
Yeah, this is Claudette Beck. Lindsay and Amanda, could you go ahead and email me that data sheets that you have?
You bet.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to principal update. Amanda.
Hello. So at
that expectation for years of having COVID and going back and having to start over. But I am really excited to report some highlights today. The first one being that our 23-24 graduation rate, we had 141 out of 150 students in the cohort graduate, which was we're going into the new year very excited. We did have a modest increase in credit completion of 0.72, but that's a very big win for our team and for our students, and also a steady growth in enrollment. So enrollment always goes down after graduation. We're really excited to see how quickly it's rebounding and the stuff being there. And we talked about small business discussion. We're at work and really looking into what stays and what doesn't stay. One of the things that's really working for us is just being very choosy about which small group instructions we keep on. We watch enrollment, we watch data, credit completion, and those things. So with the art and music grant, we just started doing art and music small group instruction classes on our site, in Chula Vista and National City. And we're really hoping that that encourages kids to not only have more quality electives to complete, it brings them on site. So they are feeling comfortable in building community and working collaboratively with their peers. With that also comes creative Wednesdays and Thursdays. Our social workers and school counselors host creative Wednesdays and Thursdays every week. And they build connections, engage in discussions on social-emotional topics. They teach, they draw, they craft, they do various DIY projects. And this offers a supportive space for students to express themselves. And it builds a stronger community and is inviting for students to come and be on campus and get comfortable with other staff, which in turn supports academics. Here's the inaugural Creative Day for this year had a theme of building connections. So students were paired randomly with other students that they didn't know, and this was a chance to start building connections, a skill that a lot of us need to work on. Our kids are very definitely like us. And they were able to get to know their friends, and they made a project based upon those conversations that they had. Next slide. A Friendship Day. So in August of 1935, Congress declared National Friendship Day. So we chose to celebrate this day as a part of our series of heritage and history celebrations. We learned that having connections lowers levels of anxiety and depression and help people have physically better lives as well. So this is why we did this day. It was a really good turnout. Students made friendship bracelets and exchanged them. And it is a good part of history lesson for them. A large percentage of our student population in the South Region of the National City are English language learners. And it is a massive part of our population. So we do a lot of work around ELDs. Our English language teacher does language labs where students have the ability to practice speaking, develop writing skills, and practice their vocabulary. This particular activity was sight word bingo. And so it's a safe space for students to practice. They speak English only and learn new vocabulary. We always get really good turnouts for that as well. And then lastly, our most popular small group instructions that we've worked on for a lot of years. That is our math small group instruction, and this very early in the year, we already have 50 students enrolled combined in algebra, geometry, and algebra 2. And we just always want to show our kids that they can complete these higher level math courses with the right support. We have an option. We can do it independently. We have a team of great math teachers, but we also have a small group instructor. Thank you for allowing me to check
in. Any questions or comments from the board?
Yeah, at this stage right here, we're going to say that, you know, not many kids are nerds that stay after school for physics lab. it's these other things that bring the kids in, and they know that they enjoy that, and they can't do that if they don't do the work. So, you know, it may look like fluff to the uninitiated. Those things are really important for bringing in students to keep their stuff. I applaud you for all the work you guys are doing.
Creates a sense of community. Well, that's one thing, too, that makes us stand apart from a traditional school.
Absolutely.
Because I came from traditional school, and we didn't get to do those fun things unless you were fluent at math or ELA or whatever. They knew us to do something.
Yeah, and you have to
hear it.
You have to
congratulate and encourage our teachers and administrators, because I know I was in groups in high school, and every group had a teacher sponsor. Half those teachers like, every day is sponsored in this club. We're trying to keep the stack. Where, you know, our people are involved in games. It makes a big difference.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, Riola update. Lindsay?
Thank you. In partnership with our Riola providers and the San Diego County Office of Ed, we're exploring some possible pre-apprenticeship programs for students, including looking at a possible pre-apprenticeship in culinary arts or cosmetology. So the way a pre-apprenticeship works is you work with a Department of Labor approved apprenticeship program to provide pre-apprenticeship skills in your school. So for cosmetology, that might look like safety in a cosmetology environment or in a salon. Some of the basics that they need for calculating formulas, for doing hair. You work with that apprenticeship program to provide that pre-apprenticeship skill. And what it's supposed to do is give that student a leg up when they apply for a paid apprenticeship. And SDCOE is just at its infancy in terms of running their pre-apprenticeship program. So we're kind of in it with them on the ground floor and looking at different partners. We're also looking at CCAP agreements with the local community colleges out here. We're just about to finish our CCAP agreement as a college agreement for dual enrollment courses. We're just about to finish up our CCAP agreement with Southwestern College so that more students can take dual enrollment courses with Southwestern. And then last but not least, we're hosting a college and career expo on October 10th in the region. It's going to be held at the California Center for Arts in Escondido. And we're hoping that around 200 students from San Diego Workforce will participate in the job fair. There's going to be vendors there representing a variety of career opportunities and educational opportunities. Students will have lunch together, and then they'll attend breakout sessions on different careers that interest them. And that concludes my real update.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E, technology information update.
Thank you very much.
Amanda, I didn't know there was a friendship day.
August 1st, 1930.
Okay. Good to know. Well, thank you for time today. I wanted to just give you an update from an IT standpoint with all the cyber security threats out there. It's important to make sure that we're providing all the right services for a secure environment. So we asked LLAC, and I'm going to go through just some highlights, to engage an outside firm just to make sure we're doing a good job. So we used Fortian Partners, which is a group of 100 CIOs that come in and just do assessments. I've worked with them in the past. Really nice gentleman was assigned to us. Met with Chad, with the support of Pete, Kimberly, and IT. They really did a fabulous job. We were very pleased with the results. Did confirm a lot of our proactive measures, or LLAC's measures and supporting our schools were in place. Preventing breaches, ransomware attacks. They also do regular vulnerability scans, and we have minimal vulnerabilities. Just to provide some context to that, organizations similar size to us would probably have several hundred open problems or vulnerabilities at any given moment. We have less than 10, which was remarkable, almost unheard of. So a lot of really good measures were in place. And just so you understand what a vulnerability is, it's someone using default passwords, or someone's credentials were stolen or leaked. Could be configurations of our firewall servers, things like that. Software, probably the biggest one, is software not updated, right? So it hasn't been patched, which creates a potential issue. So that's been fantastic. We also did confirm testing all the backups regularly. All the encryption for computer servers have been implemented. MFA, multi-factor authentication, is in place. So that was fantastic. So all of those really keep us with uninterrupted service And so that was great. However, there were some areas for improvement or enhancing our particular environment. One is just building a new project portfolio and kind of an overall strategic roadmap, and Kimberly is actively working on that right now as our VP of IT. We're also going to be, LLC is going to be putting together some new metrics just to make sure that they're hitting the targets that we need for response time. So if one of our teachers calls in and they need support, are they answering the phone quickly? Are they resolving the incident in a certain amount of time? We'll get some reports on their performance, making sure they're doing a good job for you. So that's ongoing currently. We're also going to be launching a new security awareness training. You all probably get those phishing threats on the email, and Ellen has done that at times, but Kimberly's identified a new vendor. I'm going to work with HR because it is a training program, right, to teach our users not to click. And if you look at nationwide statistics, 33% of us will click on it. But with training, we can get that down to just 5%. So we will see good improvement. And some of the prior training has been effective. We're also going to be engaging a third-party partner to come in and assess the external vulnerabilities. So we'll have a third party try to hack us, and they'll tell us where they have potential success. So it's a common thing. They've done it in the past. She's currently evaluating some vendors right now to do that. And she's also putting together a formal incident response plan. So if we, in the event of a breach, you know, who do we call? What do we do? What are the next steps? And so she's in process of doing that. It'll take her some days to get that done. And then lastly, or unfortunately, the recent CrowdStrike outage that you probably heard about affected 1% of all users. Unfortunately, we were not one of them. Although they were high profile, right? It's the airlines, healthcare, things like that. But we were not impacted as we use a different.
I think some people wish we were.
So with that, I'll conclude. But we were using a different Microsoft endpoint protection.
Thank you. Question about two people. I think Aaron just found cool. Great. So is there a small BCP that we bring that comes to all this with the events and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think part of that would be with the incident response plan, but having a continuity plan is critical. It's part of that next step.
Yeah.
We definitely need that in place. So team process.
Got it.
There were some other things that we did. One small example, we only had one internet provider into our headquarters, and they recommended we add a second. So she's already completed that. So we have two ISPs in the event of an outage with one internet provider. My continuity plan would include a second provider.
Yeah.
So things like
that. I asked that because we just went through this with my company where we had to establish onshore, offshore continuity, offshore vendors and all that kind of stuff. It's a big deal. Make sure we have that documented and all know they're done in different places. So, and so
absolutely. Yeah.
Any other questions or comments from the board?
Hearing none, we move on to item F, annual board training announcement. Benzie?
Thank you very much. In your packet, you'll find a flyer about training from Young, Mini, and Core. You can see it up on the screen as well. There will be one evening session and one daytime session. The evening session is Tuesday, October 1st at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. And the daytime session is Wednesday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. Topics include extensive Brown Act training, conflict of interest laws, and Form 700 filings. And we are asking that you please RSVP to Vanessa Mendoza.
Thank
you.
Questions or comments to the board? Thank you. Item G, 2024-2025 board meeting dates. That's on page 123 of your board packets and shows that our next meeting dates are October 8th at noon, December 3rd at noon, February 25th, 2025 at noon, April 8th at noon, and June 3rd at noon. And the meeting locations are right here with other satellite locations. We're going to be back in here again.
Nope.
Yeah, that's a typo
on
our board meeting dates, I think.
Oh, good catch. Yes. Sorry. That's incorrect.
Yeah.
So they'll be here now.
Yeah, we're at this. So it's easier.
And Marietta are here.
For me?
Marietta. So here. Marietta be here for you.
I like Marietta. Okay. Thank you. So page 123 of your packet.
make sure you annotate that on your calendars. Action items, item five. Item A, the board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. Gita Shrinkby.
Hello, board. This document, the narrative for the policy, I went over the template and the reason behind it during the last board meeting, but it's specifically for the school that receives federal funds and the school receives special ed and Title I. We need to, there are some federal requirements and guidelines that we have to follow. So this guideline was added to the accounting manual and the template that the board approved in order to do this was approved during the last board meeting. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to discuss this again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? I hear a motion to approve action item 5A.
Thank you, Costa. I make a motion to approve action item 5A.
Rathgaber, second. Thank you. That was a motion by Frank Costa, second by Dr. David Rathgaber. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Michael Costa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
Susan Ollis?
Aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item B. Board will be asked to approve the unaudited actuals for the 2023-2024 school year. Gita Shrinkby.
Thank you, board. So I'll bring your attention to the unaudited actuals, which is Form 62 by California Department of Education. And this is the last final financial report for the fiscal year 23-24 for the school. And this report includes a summary of the statement of revenue and expenditures, net positions, net position of the financials, assets and liabilities, and also information about average daily attendance or ADA. That includes last year's funding ADA and projections for fiscal year 24-25 that were used to base the developing the current year's budget. I'm going to go over some highlights on this report. So in fiscal year 23-24, the school had a funding ADA of $2,635, which is on Form A, last portion of Form 62, you can see on the screen. This funding ADA provided a final year end total revenue of $47.4 million. Total revenue shows an increase of $214,000 compared to the prior projection presented at the board meeting in June. This increase is due to a rate adjustments in lottery funding and an increase in local revenue from interest and refunds. On the expenditure side, the school ended the fiscal year with a total expenditure of $46.7 million. This total shows an increase of $394,000 compared to the prior projections. This included a combination of higher spending on teachers and classified support salaries, an increase in purchases of equipment and professional service spending, and marginal decrease in training and facilities. Depreciation and amortization remained at the same level of spending, and other outgo spending shows a small reduction due to lower than anticipated cost of debt service. In fiscal year 23-24, the school had an excess revenue of $703,000. With the excess revenue, the school ended up the fiscal year with a total ending net position of $8.4 million. And this of this revenue, $1.1 million of it is in net investments in capital assets. And the remaining $7.3 million is unrestricted and equals to about 15% of the total budgeted annual expenditures. The unaudited actuals also report a balance sheet information which shows school year end assets and liabilities. And this section includes assets such as cash accounts receivables, prepaid expenditures, accounts payables, and items added last year, which was new under lease assets and lease payables as required by regulation AC 842. Lastly, the net position in Section K shows the total reserve of $8.4 million or $8.5 million, which is the total ending net position in school in net position for the school, and which shows a good financial health for the school at this time. With that, I conclude my report, and if any questions, I'd be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Yeah, this is David Radke. Our budget was 11%, almost 12% higher than our actual, which is pretty significant when we're doing these things. And I can see from the numbers why. But what I don't know is it normal for us to be that far different between our budget and our action?
It depends as well. Right, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead, Gita.
Yeah, no, it depends throughout the year how the ADA fluctuates. So when we do the budget, just keep in mind it's based on the information that we have in May revision. So, for example, this year when we did the budget for through the May revision, we had ton of changes by the time the governor actually signed. So we start with January revision and then May revision and then the budget is signed, the state budget. So there are changes within the budget, and we change the expenditure and the projections based on that. So I think 11% is really not that much of a difference with all the fluctuations of the state budget. So the school is in a good position.
I know this year we're 11.8%. I don't know what we were last year. Where is it common for us to be around 11%?
I'm curious, what are you looking at? Because what's on this is the 23-24 audited actuals versus our budget for this current school year for 24-25. 24-25 now includes an additional learning center, which is Diego Hill Central, which is bringing in an additional 270-ish students, and the associated revenue, which would be...
I didn't catch that.
So
we're comparing 23-24 actuals to 24-25.
And that's kind of for difference only because we added the learning center in about 280 students. Normally, you would not see that big of a fluctuation school year to school year. Normally, you see a few percentage points. This is more noticeable because of the additional learning center, which is the center that we're in currently.
I know in some places, you're 10% different from budget you are.
Yeah, no. Ordinarily, I would say it varies between 0 to 2 to 3%.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board?
Thank you, Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5B?
Brent Costa made a motion to approve action item 5B.
David Rathier, you are second. Thank you. That was a motion by Frank Costa, second by Dr. David Rathier. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beth.
Aye.
Frank Costa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathier.
Aye.
Susan Ellis.
Aye.
Thank you. 5 yes votes. Item 6. Additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Well, thank you, President Adams, members of the board. I just want to congratulate our staff for their reports, the direct, correct, and honest, and I really appreciate that. Back to you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you. Ms. Vincent?
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Ames?
No problem.
Okay. Okay. Any board members have any observations or comments at this point in time?
I just want to thank Lindsay for bringing in this intern.
Okay. We're going to move on to item 7, closed session, and we will be adjourning the open public board meeting, going to closed session. This time, we'd like to request the motion to adjourn the open public board meeting, going to closed session for number 1. Comments with legal counsel, existing litigation, government code section 54956.9D1. Mayor of Pace, High School District versus Julian Union School District, San Diego County, case number 37-2015-00033720-CU-WM-CPL. And number 2, public employee performance evaluation under Government Code Section 54957B1, Title Superintendent. So may I have a motion?
Great cost, I make a motion.
Thank you. As a motion by Frank DeCosta, second by David Rathgaber. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank DeCosta.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber. Kimmer?
Aye.
Susan Ellis?
Aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. We are now going into closed session.
So we are unmuted now.
Okay, we're back in open session. On a motion by Frank Casa, seconded by Susan Ellerson, and on a 5-0 vote, the board voted to adjourn the closed session to reconvene the open public board meeting. No action was taken on either of the two closed session items. Closing items. Next regular board meeting date is October 8th, 2024. 12 here. And may I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
David Rathgaber, second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Frank Lucasa, seconded by Dr. David Rathgaber. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claude N. Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
Susan Ellis?
Aye.
It passes with 5 yes votes. We are adjourned. Thank you for a really good meeting.